might be riba involved because the person is paying back more than the loan that he took. Contractually paying back more than he took. It might not, I'm not sure, I need to find out on that later. Might not be possible. When you take a loan, you're only responsible to pay back exactly what you took. Once it's stipulated that you must pay back a certain extra amount, then that becomes riba. That's not permissible. The amount you're paying back is a full 200 rand. So the amount that's, that you're responsible for is 200. So you take the full amount. That's the amount you do, you need to pay. Whether it's permissible or not, it's another to find out another lifter. Liabilities, as we mentioned, you only take 12 months. Only 12, limited to 12 months. All these items of a personal nature, items that you use. The difference is if on the income only. The only time you'll have to pay zakat on these items if you buy it with the intention of resale. So at the time of purchasing it, if you have the intention that you're buying this to sell it on, then zakat will be payable on that. Because it's no more item of a person. Even if you end up using it till you sell it, but your intention is to sell it. So it's counted as items that you own that's part of your business. So you need to pay zakat. Then you need to pay zakat on it. The only time a masnah changes if you completely lose hope of him changing it. If you lose hope of him repaying it. As long as there's some hope of him repaying it, it doesn't still zakat on it. The past 15 years, there's no zakat on it. You only add it to your current assets. The next time you're paying zakat, it's part of your assets. There's no zakat on the previous years. No, you're completely sure. You lost hope of receiving this money. You're still unsure that he's going to pay off the complete loan, or you now you have hope that he is going to pay it off.
You're unsure. But he wants to pay the loan.
If he wants to pay, then there's always the hope that there's a possibility. Even if he takes 100 years to pay it. But as long as he has the intention, he does admit that I do owe you this money and I am going to pay it to you. If you forget it, if you forgive the loan, if you forgive the loan, then this money doesn't belong to you. He doesn't have to repay it anymore. Now he's, it's no more part of the loan. The loan agreement is complete. Yes. Now he's gifting you money.
Okay.
That's another important masala. If he's zakatable, you can't write off the debt. You need to give him actual cash. So you give him actual cash and then you ask him to repay the loan. So he'll give you that money back. So if he owes you 5,000, then you give him 5,000 in cash and then he pays off the debt and he gives you that money back. Every month you give a check. That extra balance you can carry it over to your next year. So once you do your next calculation and you have to pay 120 rand zakat, whatever extra was paid, you deduct it from that. Should be paid, shouldn't be kept behind. Zakat should be paid in advance or when it's due. The harm of delaying it is when you pay, the zakat will be done. But if you have to pass away, that zakat was, that was your responsibility on a certain date. If you give your zakat on the first of Ramadan, you pass away when Hajj starts. And now you calculated you're discharging your zakat over the next 12 months. So your next 10 months of installments are not going to be fulfilled. So the third responsibility of you. But that can only be deducted from one third of your estate. So anything more than that will still be your third responsibility which you didn't fulfill. And zakat is always best to either give it in advance. So you calculate your 12 months and you give it the year before. And at the end of the year, you do a calculation that.
So we do it on the first of Ramadan, and then by the 15th, we know the amount, and it's basically what the problem.
But this is the zakat that's due now, you're paying it over the next 1 year.
The
best is to pay it in advance. So zakat is going to be due next year on the first of Ramadan, you start paying it off now in installments. So when the zakat becomes due on the first of Ramadan, you do a calculations and you see if you paid extra, you can carry it over. If you paid anything short, then you can just start it. That's the best way to do it. The zakat was done. It's fulfilled. So as I mentioned, the harm is the day you pass away, then your zakat that's supposed to be due the next 10 months is still your responsibility that you haven't fulfilled. So on Qiyamah, you'll be questioned regarding that, all those installments that weren't fulfilled. The zakat is only discharged once the organization hands it over to a eligible recipient. As long as the zakat is with the organization, it's not completely discharged. The responsibility is not done. So even if the money has to get stolen or something, while it's with the organization, your zakat is not discharged. So it's still your responsibility to repay that zakat. That's why you have to give it to an organization that's reliable, that you're 100% sure is going to distribute it. And the ideal is always to give it yourself to a recipient. So your zakat is done.
What level of inquiry do you make when you're getting a recipient?
As long as you you're quite sure that the person is eligible for zakat, you don't have to go and check the person's every single.
Thank you.
Now, if in our time, you know, a person has a TV in his house, he has some other things that are not necessary. Over and above his basic necessities, he has other items. He'll have a TV that's worth 10,000 there. So Muftis nowadays, most of them say it's not, it's not allowed to give him zakat. But it's not part of. Now, if you know that he does have debts, and his debts are more than his assets, then you can give him. They say it's not part of your basic furniture that you need for your house. Any furniture you have in your house, furniture, utensils, you don't count that. But the TV is not something that's necessary. It's generally used for ma'asiyat for sun. That's why generally they, before giving a person zakat, they'll ask him to sell his TV. They say, you are eligible, but sell your TV and then we'll... just start with it. More detail for the things, not as. Seems like you'll pay zakat on this once you receive the money. Confirm tomorrow, inshallah. Yeah, I confirm tomorrow, inshallah. If he doesn't have any. If his other assets are generally not. You're sure it won't be more than the zakat nisab? Only once you sell it, then it doesn't change to stock in trade where you pay zakat on the property. But once you sell it, then that money you add it to your zakatable assets. No actual transfer has been done. He just agreed that he is going to buy it on a certain date. So the deal is not done yet. The money is not liable as yet. Only once the deal actually goes through. I don't think so. Either when he takes possession of the property or you receive the money, that's when the deal actually takes place. In my understanding, when you in advance, when you it's just a promise to do it, a purchase. It's not an actual purchase agreement.
Right.
In my understanding. Because the money is not payable as yet. It's not. Deposit is generally considered to be amanat, or it's not considered to be part of the payment until. Same as when you let out a property, the deposit you receive is generally it's a loan. It's amanat that you get taken. It's not actually a payment for the property. Zakat generally on machinery. There's no actual. There's no zakat on machinery. Maybe the X-ray, that whatever it's printed on, maybe if that's something that you're selling to the client, then you pay zakat on that. There's no zakat on
that. That machine costs so much.
We're calculating zakat for a business. You use the stock, the wholesale price, excluding VAT. You don't take the VAT amount into consideration when you're working out the costing for your zakat. If item costs 100 and your wholesale price that you normally sell it for is 100 and you deduce the VAT amount from there, and that's the amount you use for zakat. Even when you were calculating your assets to pay zakat, whatever VAT was paid to you. And same with VAT, when you're calculating your assets, whatever VAT was paid to you, say a customer's paid VAT to you, and it's still, you still have to pay it over to the government, to SARS. So whatever VAT you are going to pay, that's not your asset. It's actually amanat that you have with you, that you're giving to the government. So you don't pay VAT on, you don't pay zakat on this VAT amount, on this VAT that's still payable. Questions, zakat related. Voila. Is he? Is he sending you the questions?
Yeah.
He's sitting there listening to the answer. Continuing with sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh al-Hadith, Fazlur Rahman, Damul Barakatum, compiled a list of du'as that's masnoon to eat, to read before eating, while washing the hands, after eating. It's a lengthy list. There's a few of them. Before eating, Bismillah wa barakat. Before eating, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to read Bismillah wa barakatillah. In the name of Allah, and all blessings is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And when one forgets to read Bismillah before eating, one should read Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. I take the name of Allah in the beginning and at the end. It's mentioned on one occasion when Sahaba radiallahu anhu was sitting and eating. So one person came, he joined the meal, and he ate to his full. And there was one morsel left, then he remembered that he hadn't read Bismillah. So he read Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. So upon reading this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Shaitan was eating with you all along. When you read Bismillah, he vomited all what he had ate. Meaning that there was no barakah in the food. Whatever you had eaten so far without reading Bismillah, there was no barakah in it. Once you read Bismillah, then Shaitan, you chase Shaitan away and the barakah returned to the food. That's the end of the question. And while eating, it's sunnah to read Alhamdulillah. When the dasturkhan, the tablecloth is being lifted after eating, and the masnoon dua is Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi غير مكفي ولا مودع ولا مستغنى عنه ربنا. That all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such praise which is abundant and full of blessings. O our Rabb, we are not lifting this food from the ground, regarding it to be sufficient or bidding farewell to it, that we don't need this food again. We are done with this ni'mat of yours. No, are we expressing no need for it. And after eating, there are many du'as mentioned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that one who recites this dua, all his previous minor sins will be forgiven. Alhamdulillahilladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has fed me this and he has provided me with this food without any effort, without any strength from my side. And whoever reads this dua will be absolved from reckoning for this food on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, he won't be questioned regarding this food. الحمد لله الذي هو أشبعنا وأروانا وأنعم علينا وأفضل. That all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has satiated our hunger. He has quenched our thirst and he has bestowed upon us his favors and blessings. اللهم بارك لنا فيه وأطعمنا خيرا منه. Allah grant us barakah in what we have eaten and feed us even better than this. الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. All praise is due to Allah who has fed us, he has given us to drink and he has made us Muslims and the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. send us on the group, inshallah. Dua should be read immediately after eating. If you forget to read it immediately when you remember, then you should read it. الحمد لله الذي أطعم وسقى وسوغه وجعل له مخرجا. All praise is due to Allah who has fed us, he has given us to drink, he has made it palatable and digested it, and he has made a passage for this food to be removed from our body as well. اللهم أطعمت وأسقيت وأغنيت وأقنيت وهديت وأحييت فلك الحمد على ما أعطيت. Allah, you have fed us, given us water to drink, made us independent, given us contentment, you have guided us, you have granted us life. So all praise is due to you alone for what all your ni'mat which you have bestowed upon us. Allahumma ashba'ata wa arwayta. Wallah, you have satiated us and quenched our thirst. Fahanni'na wa razaqtana. You have provided for us and you have given us in abundance. Fa'aktharta wa atyabta fazidna. You have given us in abundance, made it enjoyable. Therefore, increase your ni'mat upon us. And when washing one's hands, Alhamdulillahi alladhi yut'imu wa la yut'am, manna alayna fahadana wa at'amana wa saqana wa kulla bala'in hasanin ablana. Alhamdulillahi ghayra muwadda'in wa la mukafan wa la makfurin wa la mustaghnan anhu. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'ama min at'am wa saqa min al-sharab wa kasa min al-ura wa hada min al-dalala wa bassara min al-ama وفضل على كثير من خلقه تفضيلا. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make this dua while washing his hands. And after drinking milk, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna min. As we mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to gargle his mouth after drinking milk. We mentioned that there is some stickiness which remains in the mouth after drinking milk. And there are three du'as. And one is a guest to make du'a for the host. Allahumma at'im man at'amani waski man saqani. Wallah feed those who have fed me. And give to drink those who have given me to drink. Allahumma barik lahum fima razaqtahum waghfir lahum warhamhum. Wallah grant them blessings, give them barakah in what you have provided them, in the rizq you have given them. And forgive their sins and have mercy on them. Aftara indakum as-sa'imun wa akala ta'amakum al-abrar wa sallat alaykum al-malaika. May the fasting persons break their fast at your place. May the pious partake of your food. And may the angels make dua and supplicate for you. Allahumma amti'ahu bi shababihi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sayyidina Amr bin Al-Humq Al-Khuza'i radiyallahu anhu gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam milk to drink. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua for him. Allahumma amti'ahu bi shababihi. Wallah make him enjoy his youth. Sahaba mentioned that 80 years later, he didn't have a single white hair on his body. As that mentions, when he makes these du'as for a host, that when you're making du'a, oh Allah, give him to drink. Then you're making du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give him the best food to drink. Must give him the dates of Medina Munawwara. And give him to drink. Give him the best drink to drink. Give him zamzam to drink. Means repeatedly take him over and over for umrah. Allahumma barik lahum fima razaqtahum. Allah, give him barakah in his rizq. Forgive his sins. Have mercy on him. And the last du'a, may the sa'imun, the fasting people, break fast with your food. Mentions that only those who are pious, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will keep fast. As we had mentioned before, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you should ensure that those, the pious people, eat from your food. So you're making this du'a for the host, that the pious people must eat at his house, and the malaika should make du'a for him. Continuing with the sunnats, the kitab of Hazrat Hakim Sahib, rahimahullah. The sunnats of the day of Jumu'ah. First is to take a bath. It should be done anytime after sunrise till the Jumu'ah Salah. And preferably it should be done, the same wudu one makes while taking a ghusl should be the wudu a person should read his Jumu'ah Salah with. To wear nice and clean clothes, to proceed early to the masjid. The earlier a person comes to the masjid, the earlier, the more sawab he gets. The later he comes, the less sawab he receives. And once the imam stands up for khutbah, as we had mentioned, the malaika close their books wherein they are writing the names of those who are present for the Jumu'ah Salah. So if you come after the khutbah has started, and your name is not written amongst those who are present for the Jumu'ah Salah. And to go to the masjid on foot, to try and sit as close as possible to the imam. If the sufuf are already filled, then one should not jump over the shoulders of the musallis in order to get to the front. One should not do any futile action. You should not fiddle with one's fingers or clothes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically prohibited from this in the ahadith, even playing with stones, playing with one's beard, even joining your fingers, putting your fingers together. This shouldn't be done in the masjid at all. At the time of Jumu'ah especially, it's makruh tahrimi. One should pay attention to the khutbah that's been given. And as we had mentioned, even to stop, leave alone speaking oneself, to stop someone who is speaking is lahu. We shouldn't even do that. If someone else is talking, then to tell this person to keep quiet, to even make an indication to him that he shouldn't be speaking, this shouldn't be done as well. After the khutbah is done, then you should advise the person. The person who recites Surah Kahf on Friday will be bestowed with a nur from under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will extend from the earth till the sky and will benefit him in the darkness on the day of Qiyamah. And all his minor sins which he had committed from the previous Jumu'ah until this Jumu'ah will be forgiven. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, recite durood upon me in abundance on the day of Jumu'ah since they are presented to me. On this day it is sunnah to apply oil to the hair and use any itar or sweet smelling fragrance. Best way is a posture, you said, tashahud position. Any other posture will be permissible. There's no Quran. Tashahud position is the most respectable position. Sitting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jumu'ah khutbah is in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the actual bayan. Nabi sallallahu khutbah was his address to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The khutbah in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The khutbah was the bayan. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood Arabic, so there's no need for separate bayan and then the khutbah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advising the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So to pay attention, it's best is to look at the khatib and understand what he's saying. Even if you don't understand, that was the practice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So next, what will be permissible? But generally, everyone is sitting in the saf already. So if you have to change your posture, you'll be causing inconvenience to the others in the saf. SubhanAllah.